Good afternoon and welcome to Eastbourne.online and your MP.online and your Parliament.online as well. And today we have with us as an introductory podcast MP Stephen Lloyd, who is a Lib Dem for Eastbourne and Willingdon. Hello there, Stephen. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Good to be here.
Great. It's nice to see you. And really, this is just a simple sort of get together, really, for you to have a chat with us and tell everybody in Eastbourne well, a little bit about you, because believe it or not, I think there's some people who actually don't know too much about Stephen Lloyd, the person. We see you everywhere. We see you in the newspapers. We see you online. We see you on the TV as well. So it's great to be, you know, to see our MP up in every media possible. But it'd be great to just find out a bit about you. So tell us a bit.
Well, Chris, thank you for that. I mean, it's easier said than done, because when you get to my age, I've got a long, long hinterland.
Sure.
I actually grew up in Kenya in East Africa. Wasn't Eastbourne. My father moved out to East Africa in the early 50s. My mother was an Irish lass, and she went out there as a nurse. They met, and I grew up in Kenya. The old man was East Grinsters, as it happens, and then by incredible coincidence, and it was a coincidence, my great-grandmother was Eastbourne. So it's fascinating how 80 years later you kind of come back.
You've come back, yeah.
I was always had strong opinions when I was a kid. I saw things I didn't like, and I would, you know, make my feelings clear on that. I was very lucky to grow up a very privileged background in Africa in those days. But I saw the way that some white people treated black people in Kenya in the old days. And to me, even as a very young child, 5 or 6, I hated it. I thought it was really wrong and unfair, etc. And I now recognize, looking back, that that feeling, because it was then, I was too young to intellectually think it through, but that feeling, I think, is a key part of my personality that I've always had, which is very much around equal opportunity, treating people just basically with the respect that I like to be treated.
Mm.
And as I grew up as a teenager, I began to take a great interest in current affairs, in politics. One of my original heroes, really, in the old days was Martin Luther King. Though I was very, very young when he was around, it kind of got through to me. It really did. Was interested in politics then as a young man, and actually was originally a member of the Labour Party up in London. And then, for me as Labour, some of your older listeners will know, split into what's called the SDP.
Yes.
I joined the SDP, in fact, was one of the original joiners all those years ago. And then life intruded, and I kind of dropped out of politics for 20, 25 years. First off, I was an actor for a couple of years up in London, a deeply unsuccessful actor.
An actor, eh?
And I was so unsuccessful, Chris, you won't believe it. You know, that's where I learned all about how far a tin of beans or a tin of crushed tomatoes can go for 2 days as your main meal. I was hopeless at it. I enjoyed it, though, and I was in a number of different series. I did one episode of Doctor Who in the old days.
That's where I know you from.
I did. Yeah. But if you blink, you miss me. I also remember doing an episode of Hello, Hello, which was hilarious. But anyway, I gave that up after a couple of years. I was just no good. And I went into business, originally as a radio production company. I set up a radio production company up in London, which was doing a lot of packages for the independent radio network and then BBC network. Had a Fulham and studio, ran that for a few years. That was quite successful. Then in the late 80s, I'd made a few quid, and so I dropped out and got into something that I was very interested in around disability. I'm hard of hearing. I have been all my life. I lost my sight in my mid-20s. For 6 months, and one of the things that came out of that for me was an interest in disability. Sounds the wrong word. What it came out for me was I thought that it just seems so silly that for people with a disability that society generally, certainly in those days, put so many barriers in front of what people's capabilities could be, and I just thought that was wrong. So at the time, I'd made some money, so what I wanted to do was just go and work in the charity sector in those days around disability to learn, and also then start advising companies and businesses about how to make their products and services accessible to disability. The reason I needed some money in those days is there was no money in that business at all. There is now, but there wasn't then. But anyway, I did that for a bit and very quickly got involved with campaigning. I got involved with something called the Disability Discrimination Act, which a lot of your disabled listeners will know about. Prior to that, a company could say, I don't care if you're in a wheelchair, you're not coming into my restaurant. They could sack you because you were disabled. The law came in and made that illegal.
It's amazing that that even happened.
And that was only, I'm getting on a bit now, let me think, 20, 25 years ago?
Oh, I mean, it was recent times.
25 yeah. years ago, yeah. Oh. And it was. And, you know, there were battles to make it happen. It was, oh, you can't do this. It will put businesses out of business. You know, I mean, it was a real battle. I actually want to start this with paying credit to a Tory, because a key person that got it and made it happen was the then Prime Minister, John Major. As I was campaigning with a lot of others on it, a lot of opposition from the Tory party and businesses, but John Major was very supportive. Without him, it wouldn't have happened. Right. And I don't often compliment the Tories, but he deserves a medal. I was very impressed with him. I'll tell you a funny story about Major. Is, again, your older listeners will remember him as being a grey man. Yep. Whenever he was on telly, he just looked grey. The colour washed out of him.
That's true.
He is one of the most charismatic people in the flesh I've ever met. I kid you not.
And it's amazing. If you watch Spitting Image at the time.
Weird. But if you met him, yeah. Chris, I promise you, you would notice his charisma. He's that charismatic. I mean, it's just fascinating. Something about the colouring, his skin colouring, the TV just drained out. Anyway, that's by the way. Enough compliments about John Major. And then from there, after a few years, with some success, I'm pleased to say, I then went back into pure business and I became business development director for a big company. And I did that for 9 or 10 years, just back into the world of business. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I thought that would be my life, because I've a great company called Grassroots up in London, over 1,000 people. Knew the manager, the chief executive, well, the chairman. And I was on a good whack, you know, to be honest. I'm a good seller. And if you're a good seller, you earn good money.
Sure.
And then... and it's absolutely true, the story. It sounds so cheesy. One night, I lived in Maidenhead. Then I moved down to London. I came back to work. Came back from work, knackered. And I was watching TV, Newsnight. My then wife, Pat, bless her, had gone to bed. And I was watching Newsnight. And it's one of those situations where you had two politicians disagreeing 100% with each other. And I thought, this is ridiculous. The world's not like that. It's a bit grey, you know, but
yes.
Each person was saying, I'm 100% wrong and you're 100% right. And I was getting really frustrated. And this is October 2000. And I had one of those road to Damascus moments where it was suddenly, Stephen, you either throw a brick at the telly or you turn into one of these blokes who just moans in the pub that the world's gone to the dogs. Politicians are all thieves or what have you.
It's quite a few of them.
There are some.
Yeah.
Or you roll your sleeves up and decide to make a difference. And I tell you, split second, even though I had a really good job, I had holidays, I had weekends of my own, I took the decision there and then. And next day, I phoned the Liberals in Maidenhead, signed up. And literally, that was it. It was I can't be done with this. I'm going to roll my sleeves up and the rest, you know, is history.
Ah, but you did something about it instead of just...
Yeah. And that's what I'm always saying to people in East London, particularly youngsters, particularly kids. If I go to schools, if I go to walk around town, if I have someone come and see me, can't get a job, what have you, you know, I'm always, no matter how hard it is, we've got a choice. We can either be victims of others or the world's horrors, or we can do something to take control of our lives. And I know, and I just know this, I've been around a long time, Chris, no matter the difficulties, I know that once we decide ourselves, I'm going to take charge of my own life, then you've got a chance.
Yes.
whether it's in politics or getting a job or getting whatever, you know, anything. But if we don't decide to do that, we're always just victims. So it was the most expensive decision I ever took. Took me years to win because Liberals don't have safe seats. You have to really earn it. I learned about politics. I learned the bonkers aspects of politics, which can be very, you know, bashing each other. Learn about campaigning Not only do I not regret it, even though it cost me a fortune, and it did, and a marriage, you know, it is the best decision I ever took in my life. It is the best decision for a couple of key reasons. One, if you're really doing something that you really believe in, it makes, no matter if it's 70, 80 hours a week, it's much more fun than doing 30 hours a week that you hate. The second thing is I'm a liberal. I mean, I believe in right or wrong. I'm very much a business wing liberal. I'm very pro-business. I'm not a left-wing liberal, but I am a liberal, and I'm proud of that. And again, what I mean by that, I don't mean liberals are right and the others are wrong. It's about being who you are. And then last but not least, I had no idea that I'd end up in Eastbourne, and I had no idea that a town that I ended up caring so much for a place and so for so many of its people, and so many of them would care so much for me. I've just am gobsmacked all these years later at the privilege that I have at serving this town, and that poof, you know, is worth everything.
Yes. So that was, so really you ended up in Eastbourne, as opposed to choosing it or whatever. That's just the way that things work, isn't
it? Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
But that's worked out for you.
Well, it has, absolutely. And I love it. I mean, in fact, I'll let you into a secret, Chris, between you and I, don't tell anyone else, all right?
Keep quiet.
Eastbourne's doing well. You know, we're pulling together. We're a town at ease with itself. We're an incredibly community-engaged town. I mean, tomorrow's LGBT Pride. There was a carnival a few weeks ago. Every weekend, the community's stepping up to serve and to help each other. It's just a fantastic town. And also, it's a very sane town. It's a town, as I said earlier, it's at ease with itself. Mm. Chris, at the minute, the rest of the world's gone mad.
Right.
You know, I mean, Westminster the last few days was mad. Last week, it was mad. I've got Donald Trump supporting the Russian president over his own security services, you know. So my cunning plan, between you and I,
okay,
is I'm going to build a wall around Eastbourne.
Hey, not a bad idea.
And the rest of the world can go hang.
No.
There
exactly.
You go. You heard it here first.
Can we charge for visas and things like that?
Yeah, don't get me started.
No. I think things have gone a bit crazy. And at the time of recording, yeah, there has been all sorts of shenanigans with Trump and what have you. I think that really, you know, what this shows, though, is how, even though you didn't choose Eastbourne, it's really become part of you.
Oh, absolutely.
And Eastbourne has also taken you to heart as well.
It has, which is very kind, you know, and it is. I mean, I know folk know that I work like hell for the town, but it is hugely humbling when, you know, when so many people are as nice and as kind to me as they are. Mm. I mean, you know, I'm pausing there because it sounds as if I'm going OTT. I'm really not. I mean, it's a wonderful town. People know I fight like hell for it. Not everything I do people agree with, and they'll tell me, and of course I understand that. But it's a real privilege to serve a town where the folk care about you because they know you care about them. Mm. Now, I mean, my view when I started was I had a belief that if you really, you know, work like hell, put yourself out there, do the best you can, et cetera, then that's kind of been my life belief anyway. And I've always believed that would work in politics. I mean, it's harder because remember, you know, at the last election, the Liberals were 7-8% in the polls and I got just under 47%, yes. You know. If I was in Eastbourne, bluntly as a Tory, where it's 40% in the polls, I'm sure I'd have a very, very substantial majority. And that's not dissing Conservatives or part of them. They're the government. They've got a lot more what you call core vote, people who will vote Tory or in other parts of the country, Labour, come what may. The Liberals don't have that luxury.
No, where people are voting irrespective of the person.
Precisely. We don't have that. We've got to earn it. And I think that's a very good reason for the Liberals and for their strength. But I also totally understand that there will be friends of mine, I mean, colleagues or what have you, who would be ideologically Labour and ideologically Conservative, and they'd be they'd hold those positions with absolute integrity, you know, and I really respect that. But at the minute, politics is just very odd. I've never known it, and I'm getting on. It's very partisan. You have obviously Brexit, which has split the country down the middle. You've got people like Donald Trump. You've got some very, very right-wing democratic movements. Democratic, yes, but very, very right-wing winning in parts of Europe. And I think an awful lot of perfectly nice, normal, ordinary people are just a bit fearful at the minute. Mm. And I guess the challenge there is when people are frightened, it's very easy to stir them up against a scapegoat, whatever that may be. And I really don't like that. It's so, I think, anathema of what the whole thing of English tolerance and understanding is. But the way the world is at the minute, we are going through that sort of bumpy period. So my job is priority number one, is keeping Eastbourne safe and keeping it moving forward, keeping it prosperous, keeping the schools going well, really working with the community. That's my job. And that's my priority number one every damn day. But as well as that, what I've tried to do, and I think it's responsible for a lot of all politicians at the minute, sometimes not doing so, but to try and moderate our language a wee bit and not go down the absolute populist route, because history's shown us since the beginning of time that that ends in tears and normal, ordinary people suffer, you know. Yeah. But there you go.
Well, no, that's very true. And OK, we are running out of time. So just very quickly, it would be quite nice for people to know about you. You know, I mean, do you have hobbies? Do you have time for hobbies? You probably don't, do you?
Well, I have a partner, my beloved, called Shireen, who's a normal person, poor woman. She's a nurse from Eastbourne and then moved up to London long time, you know, way, 30 years or so ago, 40, 35 years or so ago, giving her age away, folks. You better be careful. She went up to train up in London, was up there, married, had kids. Then sadly, you know, she and her husband divorced, came back to London with the kids, and I met her 15 years ago, and she's been great. So I feel for Shireen because she's a normal person hooked up with me, and that's a challenge because I'm everywhere. People know me. They now know her, and so she'll be stopped in the supermarket and say, can you pass this message on to Stephen? But she's really important, and the boys, they're not kids anymore, they're growing up, and they're a pair of really good pair, Chris and Alex. Alex working in Brighton. Chris has just left university. He starts a job next month, you know. Got a lot of, other than, you know, the thousands of people I know in Eastbourne, I've got a lot of good friends in the town, across all different in businesses and politics or what have you. I guess the challenge is I do love my job a lot, and I really take it very seriously, the responsibility. And so I do 78 hours every week. That's my job. Bang, bang, bang. Now, that's good, and I'm not moaning. I love it. The problem with that, and it took Shireen to teach me, is you know, you need a bit of a break. So when I was last the MP, after about a year and a half of this, Shireen very sensibly sat me down, and what we agreed is every 6 or 7 weekends we go away for a weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's just a B&B, you know. A couple of weekends ago we were in London. 2 months before that we stayed at B&B in Chichester. It's literally just to get out for a weekend, because then we just potter out, you know. It allows me downtime, and also, to be honest, it allows Shireen and I to just be together just without constant interruptions. And that's
absolutely
important.
I can imagine.
She's constantly trying to get me to do hobbies. And I'm still, I mean, I went to a great tennis club up in Meads, funny enough, only the other day. And I'm thinking to myself, it could probably do me good to take up something a little bit different. But I mean, on exercise, I mean, I've just come from a really great fitness club called We Push Ducks, bless them. The chap who runs, a guy called Tyson, and he runs fitness groups. And I was there today because he every week he goes and he helps people who are of the street community get fit, and he does it for nothing, and he does it for the Salvation Army. Classic example of Eastbourne community.
Yes.
Trying to help, you know. And so I was there today as a fundraiser, you know, come and watch the MP make an ass of himself, basically. I don't have time to go to gyms, but then I told him, so after the gym, I'm absolutely knackered, but I did tell him I do about 7 or 8 kilometres a day because of the walking, either to events or meetings. So actually, funnily enough, though, you know, Shireen is right that the pace of work I do, I've got to be careful of it. The fact is, I'm actually fitter than I was 35 years ago.
Because
if you're doing 7-8 kilometres every day, you're fit.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, no, well. And yet, if I didn't do the job, I'm sedentary as an individual. I wouldn't go to a gym. I'd do if I wasn't doing my job, I'd be doing 50 metres a day.
No, yeah. Well, I tell you what, you can join us on our Paris. We ride from here to Paris.
Brilliant.
Quite often. Yeah, actually, at least annually. And so we're doing one again coming in September.
Wonderful.
Another charity ride. So
now let me know. I'll publicise. I'll put it on my Facebook. Very nice. Thank you. No, we were talking about it earlier, Chris. I've got 60,000 followers on Facebook. So who's the charity? Who are you doing it for?
Bloodwise.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, well, I won't join you on the bicycle thing, but I'll help publicise it.
Well, bring me back
some pâté.
Yeah, of course. And a baguette. Why not? Last year that was interesting. 35 degree heat most of the time. It was quite a challenge. But anyhow, so, Stephen, it's great because, you know, coming in here and spending the time to talk to us and to talk to Eastbourne to allow people to sort of get a little bit of more, you know, a little bit more knowledge about you, I think is important for people personally. And that's why we're doing these podcasts. So hopefully you'll join us again, and maybe next time we can talk about some casework and talk about how things are happening, you know, what's happening in Eastbourne.
And what do I do, or what does an MP do, stuff like that?
Yes,
yeah,
because
no, that would be useful.
Absolutely.
Happy to do it. My diary's a nightmare, but I'm sure if you keep sucking up to my diary secretary, Kathy Bond, she will fit another slot in.
It's costing us a fortune in Quality Street, Stephen. I've got to tell you. But what we'll do is we can either, you know, if people want to send in questions, if they want to find out bits and pieces, it's not a replacement for your surgery that you do on a regular basis, don't you? How can people sort of come along and talk to you about that?
The best thing is my office, which is 100 Seaside Road. We're open 10 till 4, 5 days a week, other than Wednesdays, which is 10 to 12. Come on in. I've got a whole team. I mean, I do thousands and thousands and thousands of people's casework. So come and see my office. If there's a problem, you'll get in the system. The caseworker will take you through. My email is stephen.lloyd.mp@parliament.uk. Again, I get about 300 emails a day, but ping them in and we can pick up on that. I do community surgeries around the town. The best way to find out about those is drop into the office. I've got a team. I've got 9 staff, you know, 3 up in London, 6 down here. And believe you me, the staff, MP's budget's the same for every MP. Some MP has 2 members of staff and their husband or wife, what have you, paying them a lot of money. I don't. I've got 9. So if you do the maths, I don't pay well. But these are people, they're Eastbourne people. They're committed to serving the town and they're just wonderful. So if you've got an issue, the best thing, Monday to Friday, 10 to 4, 100 Seaside Road, except Wednesday when it's 10 to 12, drop in, see a casework officer, they'll pick up the case.
And guys, I think you realise that, of course, Stephen's actually being quite honest about that. And I think that, you know, a lot of MPs that we've spoken to and a lot of politicians aren't quite as honest as actually wanting some casework. Mm-hmm. And so they'd prefer not to have it.
Mm. Oh, so. Yeah. No, I doing casework, back to serving the town, it is a fundamental reason, top 3, why I'm a politician, why I love my job. Absolutely.
Mm. So you can make a difference like that. And again, you know, residents of Eastbourne, if they do have a problem, get in touch.
Definitely.
So you can email us here. You can email me, chris@eastbourne.online. Stephen Lloyd said, you can email him as well and find out all the information that you need in order to get in contact. Stephen, is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, that's it. Many, many thanks, Chris. Good luck with it and very good luck with the enterprise.
And we'll speak soon.
Thank you.